If I can have everybody's attention, please. I will now call the meeting to order at 7 o'clock. Please note assistive listening devices for our council chamber are available upon request from staff, the clerk's office, or off to my immediate right from where I'm sitting. I will now also ask everybody to turn your cell phones off or place them on silent, please. And I will now call on Councillor McClure to start the meeting with a prayer and to sing the national anthem.
Grant us, O God, perception, patience, that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of the town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides and so creates in us a desire for progress and responsible action, that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Everybody gets settled. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest by any members of council? If not, I will now move on to the confirmation of minutes being held on May 2nd, 2017. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Befford, that the council meeting's minutes dated May 2nd, 2017 be approved. All in favor? Carried. Okay, is there any urgent business matters? If not, I will now move on to committee recommendations. Following committee recommendations from General Committee report date May 16th, 2017. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer, that May 16th, 2017 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following consigned items be adopted. Staff report 2017-22, 2017 property tax levy rates. Staff report 2017-65, quarter one 2017 operating budget variance report. Staff report 2017-71, new multi-residential property tax class for 2017. Staff report 2017-67, status update regarding a donation box licensing. And Accessibility Advisory Committee report dated April 27, 2017. No questions? All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure, that May 16, 2017 General Committee report recommendation regarding senior management work plan be adopted. No further questions? Oh, Councillor DeBoer.
This is regards to the senior management work plan, right?
Yes.
I just had some questions with regards to staff, or for staff, with regard to how the senior management work plan is actually used here.
Okay. Ms. DeGoyter is going to speak to it.
Thank you, Your Worship. Your Worship, to Councillor DeBoer, what I believe when we're referring to the senior management work plan is a staff report summary list that I created actually as a tool that I use to include all the reports that are coming to council, all the different presentations, all the different delegations. So it's an administrative tool that I use to try to manage the various meetings.
So that would cover more than just one meeting. You would have a number of things going on that you're trying to fit in?
In a perfect world, we all plan here, and we would have months out. Generally, we try to plan quarterly of what reports are coming forward, recognizing, of course, that this can always change depending on timing of information, timing of reports, and the things that we're waiting from the community.
Okay. And I think the other part of this resolution, when I read it before, but that I continue to have issues with, is that, you know, members of council, yes, you've got other projects and other things going on, but I don't think knowing this information should impact whether you come to a meeting or not. All of our decisions are made around this table to the betterment of Caledon and all of our and the entire ward, and I think we should always attempt to be here as often as we can, and I think the attendance at this table is always pretty good, so I do question that. There are a number of things here that when I got thinking about it, I really wasn't comfortable with this resolution the way it was, so I don't know if I can support it.
Okay. Councillor Ennis.
Thank you. I just want to echo the sentiments. I'm not entirely comfortable with the wording. I get the purpose behind bringing this forward, just so that you, I can see it be beneficial in the sense of I'm constantly asking staff what the status is of motions that I may have brought forward to council at some point, and ensuring that staff are continuing to work on them so that they are coming back to council. So I see that. However, that's part of my job, is to follow up on those things and to follow up with staff. I'm not comfortable with the wording with regards to balance potential conferences and holidays. Our jobs are to be here on council days and to have those votes. There are things that come up, obviously, that make it unavoidable, but that's always going to happen. And I think, as Councillor DeBoer stated, it is a priority to be here. And I don't want our residents to think that isn't our job. That is what our job is to be here at these meetings. So, and I think that staff do a really good job, not only here, but also at the Region Appeal, ensuring that the calendar is balanced in accordance with the appropriate conferences that council members should be attending, whether it's AMO or FCM or any of those. They make sure that we're not having council meetings during those periods. And they also work with each other to make sure that we're not in conflict with any of our committees or such at the region. So I can't support it the way that it's worded, and I'm not even sure if there were to amendments to it that I could support it, because I think that it's sending the wrong message to our residents.
Okay. Councillor Bufford?
I wasn't negative to the motion when I read it. I just was unclear. And there were two aspects of it. One was the conference holidays issue. And I've always found that either the staff have worked with us to delay an issue if you know you're going to be in advance, not be here. Or secondly, the other councillors would defer it until you get back. So I haven't seen that as an issue. And I guess my question was similar to Councillor DeBoer's with regard to the work plan. It's basically, and I just want clarification on this from the clerk, it's basically an internal working document that you use to keep on track to bring items forward to council. Is that correct?
Thank you, Your Worship, to Councillor Beffert. That's correct. Both myself and my staff in the Legislative Services use it as a tool to try to keep all the motion or all the pieces in motion.
Okay. And then can I ask you, if this motion as it stands was to pass, what effect or impact would it have on that internal working document have in your capacity?
Through Your Worship, to Councillor Beffert, I don't think it would cause any administrative issues with distributing it. However, it is a working document. I would be concerned, just as I say to staff, I never like to commit to a date when a certain report's coming forward until we're at the very end when we know, just because, as we all know, things come up at the very last minute. We're waiting for different things. So my issue would be the accuracy of it. It's a document that I use to push and pull, and if it is distributed or used for a different purpose, that would be my concern.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. I was letting everybody sort of talk away, and because last time when this came forward, we just let it slide through because a number of the councillors weren't here. And unfortunately, Doug wasn't here when this subject came up. He was way sick. So this already came up. And so I would just like to, one for Doug's benefit and two for the other councillors, how this actually happened to come up was having to do with the Caledon Equestrian Park. And it was Councillor Downey who spoke to the CAO, who is next to her at that point, and said, well, there must be a way so we're not getting motions when we've already got something in the works. And he said, and I'm going to quote, can always provide the work plan if that's helpful. Council always provide to council if council so chooses. That can also be provided to council in reference to the work plan. The CAO didn't have any problem. He mentioned it three times in that discussion. I do have the time at which, if we wanted to play the audio, but I don't think it's necessary. Now, the concern here is that I heard Councillor Ennis say she knows when reports are coming forward. Well, I don't. I am not in the loop. Nobody tells me. So I find it unusual that maybe some councillors may know when reports are coming forward because they certainly don't tell me. And then there was some questions about the motion as far as holidays, as far as conferences go. I probably haven't missed any council meetings except if I was away on a conference, but there have been numerous times when people have either been sick or have to book off sick or have gone on holidays and we've had council meetings. And as much as I would like to say that council does a great job at deferring motions when we're not in attendance, I can tell you that does not happen. Did not happen to when none of Ward 1 was in attendance, even though it was asked to be deferred. I did defer Gord McClure's motion last week because the other councillors weren't here. And it did go through, but most often it doesn't. I've done deferral motions a number of times, so I beg to differ with my colleagues. This is about understanding what's coming forward. It is not the perfect science, but at the region, they do let us know. Matter of fact, they consult with us well ahead of time and let us know when something is coming forward. But staff have not done that here, and the CAO did say he was quite happy to provide it. So it's not a detriment. It actually gives us a heads up. Because if there's something major coming to my ward, I want to make sure I'm here. And if I've got a conference, I might actually back out of that conference if it was something really important. So I think more information is helpful. I'm not sure what everybody's worried about, but that's my two cents. So if anybody else has anything to add to that, I just think it's a helpful tool to understand. If so, and if we turn this down, I don't want to hear anybody on council complain when I bring a motion forward and they go, oh, well, didn't you know that's on the work plan? Well, no, I don't know because staff members don't tell me. So I'll leave it to my other council members if they would like to speak to it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just a couple of things, and with respect to Councillor Beffert's comments about deferring matters if the members of council for that particular ward are not present, I do recall there was an instance where a Ward 1 issue came forward and this council did not defer that. And I thought it was, and I think it's out of respect really for the ward councillors. Sometimes it's unavoidable issues that come up, and out of respect it should be deferred. So that, Councillor Beffert, did not happen, and that was actually in your ward. With respect to the conferences and holidays, and I can tell you on June the 8th, I will not be at the regional council meeting because I will be at the Clean Air Summit representing the region. So sometimes things come up, and it's unavoidable as well. I know Councillor DeBoer is going to be there representing the town, but I'm unable to make that council meeting at the region because I am on regional business representing them. So I think that that's where the mover is coming from with these. And it's not that we don't, it certainly is not saying to our residents, oh, we're too busy going on holidays or conferences, so we're not here for meetings. I think sometimes these things come up and they happen to fall on the day of our council meeting, and I guess that's where the mover is coming from, in just asking that we somehow coordinate. It's not always possible, but if it is possible, then I think that's all the motion was asking for. So anyway, those are my comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Groves. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I don't have any problem with the spirit of the motion. The only question or issue that I have, and this is something I spoke very strongly about previously at council, was, and the mover can speak to it if she wishes as to the intent, was when we talked about council's place in speaking to reports. My very strong personal opinion is that my voice, I can offer my input if there's a study or a review, those types of things. I certainly speak them here. I speak with staff. But I have very strongly said that staff should have the absolute range to provide the report to council, and then at this table we debate the matter, we can amend it, we can reject it, we can approve it, all those types of things. The only thing I was concerned about with this is if I know that a particular issue is coming up the next month, am I going to get involved in trying to impact that report? And I don't believe that's my place. My place is at this table to speak to the report. That was the concern I have, and I don't know if that's the intent of the motion, in part or otherwise. But that was my concern. Is I believe staff should have absolute internal ability to work through that at senior management level, bring it here, and then we do the work here at this table. And that was my one concern with this. So I offer that to council for their consideration.
Thank you, Councillor Misipelli. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. Just on the heels of Councillor Misipelli, I appreciate the intent because I believe it's coming from a place that's looking to support collegial working relationships between staff and council. However, I think unfortunately it reads as if that doesn't exist at this moment, and I don't think that that is accurate. I also have a hard time supporting the second and third whereas, because I don't believe it's anybody's responsibility to balance scheduling issues than my own. So, you know, I know what my job is, I know that my seat is here, and I make a point of being here. If I can't be here, well, you know, that's what the rest of council is for. If we're not in attendance, you know, that's council asks questions, they do their job, and they make decisions. I think that, so I think that those two are fairly redundant. So in the spirit of the motion, I can relate to and I can appreciate it. As it's worded right now, I can't support. Although I think that there is definitely room to maybe work through it, and whether it be through amendment or withdrawal, and come back to the table with something that is a little bit more fulsome and is worked through with senior staff, then I would support that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Innes.
I think I just want to reiterate so that it's not misinterpreted. There are lots of issues that are happening in all of our wards, and it is my responsibility as the councillor to meet with staff, to work through those situations and those issues. For example, I know that there is a report that's going to be coming in August with regards to Antrim Court. This is not a surprise because Nick and I have been meeting with our staff to talk about this issue. And so I know when it's coming because we've been working with staff on it. And that's my responsibility as the counselor, is to bring the issues and the concerns forward of my residents and to work with staff to find a resolve. I'm not there to tell staff what to do, but to make sure that they're well aware of the situations out there and to work through it. That's my responsibility. So my other concern is the part that the clerk has mentioned, that this is a working document, which means that it says one thing today and tomorrow it could mean something different. And there are many, many different things that are going to impact that working document. There's the tendering process. There's staff timing. There's reports, all different kinds of input. So I could look at it today, make a decision based on it today, and tomorrow it's going to be different because there's going to be a different outcome. There's going to be a different report before me. So I think that the best thing as counselors that we can do is to continue to meet with our staff and to have those discussions when you know that there are significant issues in your ward, and to be following through with staff and following up with staff on those issues, and try your best to plan as best as you can to be here. And as you know, Councillor Groves mentioned, there are times where unfortunately we're called on other business and we cannot be here. That happens, but it's also your responsibility to have those conversations with your other councillors, knowing I'm not going to be here. You know, there were issues that came up and last week that I'm sure that Councillor Downey sat down and met with other councillors and said, you know, here's a heads up on some of my concerns and some of my issues. That's going to happen, unfortunately, and when you're sick, that happens too. Some of us choose to come when we're sick, and I'm sorry for that. But in that spirit, I can't support the way that this is, because I think that that relationship already exists, and I think that the onus is on me as a counselor to make sure that I have that relationship with staff and that I am responsible for my calendar and, at the end of the day, responsible to my residents.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Oh, where do you go from there? Actually, it sounded just a tad insulting, so I'll just say I meet with staff regularly, but they will not tell me when a report's coming forward. So everything about this was about having more information as a best guess. And if you would read it, it would actually say and provide the updates as they come along. We all make plans, best plans when we're doing reports, I'm sure, and some take longer to come in and some come faster, and so that changes. But it actually, the motion actually says on a monthly basis and provide updates as confirmed. I think that's really clear English language. And I heard this council be adamant about, and there are people here in the audience that will tell you, we had a long discussion. Councillor Downey, you were the one that proposed the idea to the CAO. So it's just about having more information, and so councillors aren't blindsided. I tried really hard at the beginning of this term of council to get reports to come to council a week ahead like the region appeal does. But they come in on a Thursday late, or they come in on a Friday. And it doesn't give us enough time to do our work and to provide our residents with enough notice, especially if we need them to come for support. So this doesn't hurt anybody. I don't know what you're afraid about. It doesn't hurt anybody. This is just another tool in our bucket to hopefully just do a better job for our residents, which is what it says. And as Councillor Mezzapelli said, the intent of this, I'm not sure if he was in council that day, but the intent of this was just to give us a heads up, to get an idea. The region does it, and they do it well. That's not an issue. Here we are now. We just spent like 20 minutes on an issue that should have been a slam dunk. So that's all I'm going to say. And if you wish to turn it down, by all means, turn it down. But I will be supporting it because I think it gives our residents more opportunity to be aware. And if it's a week ahead of time, then so be it a week ahead of time. But that's all I'm going to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Bedford.
Oh, we're just going on and on, but I think there's a simplification of a really important issue. And I still don't understand the issue of it being an internal working document. We're not the only ship in the sea, and I hear that the Region Appeal does it a different way. I'm wondering if we can refer this back to the clerk and review some of the other areas. I look at Toronto, for example, the number of councillors they have. They must have a system set up where these people get information, because they sure as heck can't do it as we can do it by talking, because there are too many of them. So I guess that's what I would prefer to see. I'm still not comfortable with the internal working document and the conferences and the holidays. I'd prefer to see some information back about how that same, I know what communication Councillor Shaughnessy is talking about, and it's important. I'd just like to get some other ideas. So I'm suggesting that we refer it back to the clerk, and I would so move.
Second by Councillor McClure.
Yep.
So for that we don't talk, right? Vote on it. Okay. I have two speakers on the board. But what I'm going to do is I'll leave them on the board. But is there anybody? Just put up your hand if you want to speak towards the referral. Councillor Shaughnessy, do you? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Waste of staff time. Sorry. Waste of staff time. This has already been discussed prior to Doug being here. He was away sick on holidays. I will reiterate one more time. Can CAO always provide the work plan if that is helpful. Can always provide to council if council so chooses. That can always be provided to council. This is our CAO, guys. Sorry he's not here, but that's what he said. So, you know what? I don't want it referred back because I don't want to waste staff time. It's already been well discussed. Turn it down, and we'll move on and get done with the rest of the evening, is what my suggestion would be. Thank you very much.
Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor McClure, that the General Committee report recommendation regarding seniors' management work plan be referred back to staff. All in favor? Opposed? Fails. Okay, I still have ones on the board on the original motion. Councillor Shaughnessy, you're next in line anyway. Did you want to speak? You're done? Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Through you, one of the things I guess I would like to see, and I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out how we do this, and through you to the clerk. I do agree that it would be great to have our agendas a week before, like the region does, because sometimes we run into issues where it's a long weekend. We get it. We don't have staff present on the Monday. We have no opportunity, and neither do our residents, no opportunity to ask questions or look for clarifications in that. So I'm not sure how we incorporate all of that and how we do it, but it is something that I would like to see, just because it just makes it a lot easier for us and for our residents. Our residents aren't getting it till Friday afternoon. Sometimes they're not able to get a hold of anyone Friday afternoon, and then it's the weekend, and then it just becomes a problem for them. So I'm going to put that out there. I don't know how we do it, but I'm going to leave it up to Madam Clerk to try and figure it out. Sorry? Well, I'm happy to put a motion to do that, because I do think it benefits all of us.
So I'm going to let the clerk speak. Councillor
okay.
Groves.
So thank you, Your Worship, to Councillor Groves. This council's actually voted on that matter a couple of times this term, and it was not successful. So the next time that can come forward is the next term of council.
Unless we get a two-thirds.
Unless you get a two-thirds, that's correct.
Okay, I don't know. Do I have a two-thirds? no, I'm not done. Sorry, Councillor Shaughnessy. With respect to the reports and speaking to staff, I actually have never had an issue with talking to staff about some important matters in my ward and when they will be coming to council, because it gives me an opportunity to also let my residents know that if they want to be present when that report comes forward, that they're able to do so. So I really don't have an issue with talking to staff, and as a matter of fact, I know that there are a couple of them coming forward, and it's stuff that I've been working on in my ward, and I have been working with the staff, and I know when they're coming. Sorry, Councillor Shawn, I just simply ask and work with them. So I really don't have an issue with that. I really don't understand, and I'm trying to figure out, Councillor Shaughnessy, how we can do this and maybe change some things in here to make it work. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So speaking to the motion, just two things. One, very quickly, I had more of a concern about the agendas coming out on the Friday previous to the Tuesday when we had the old system. In my opinion, when you get two cracks at it, at committee and at council, and the space in between, I find that much more a permissive system that allows not only councillors but the public to engage. You may not have so much advance notice before committee, but certainly between committee and council, you do. And council is when we actually make the vote on it. So I would just put that out there. The question I have regarding the motion, I'm assuming if this were to go forward, it would be month by month. At that point, and I don't know if the clerk can tell me, will the reports be concluded at a staff level? Because that's, in my opinion, you know, if the report is complete and it's just, okay, this is going to come forward at this time next month, that's fine. Staff at the senior management level have done their work, and then we can debate it here. If it is a draft form, that's where my concern comes forward, where, sure, I want to give my input, but I don't want to tell staff what that report should look like. And I don't know if the clerk could confirm whether or not those reports would be complete at the staff level.
So through the mayor to Councillor Mezzapelli, that would be a clerk's dream. As I look to my colleagues, that reports were done a month ahead of time. No, unfortunately, with our workload and items that are coming forward, senior management doesn't review the final reports generally till a week and a half before the agenda is put out. So a month ahead of time is still a lot of things that could happen and change at that point.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Last kick at the can here. Okay, I'm not even, we do have the procedural bylaw committee meeting tomorrow. We could say 2 weeks ahead of time and we could have a motion and say, correct, right, and change, and discuss it tomorrow. So maybe we need to do that now, since this seems to be the issue that other councillors have brought up. But I'll leave that for about a moment, and we'll see whether, actually a week and a half, because you said a week and a half, you know what's coming up. So I'll just step back for a second. And the reason this is getting debated at council today is we just all let it go through at committee. We let it go through at committee because we were missing councillors. And I went, the trouble with committee and council is you debate it at committee, and council members are missing, and then you go back and re-debate it again. So sorry I'm putting you through the misery here tonight. but let's just step back why this motion came forward, and it had to do with Caledon Equestrian Park. And in the fall of last year, I did a direction to have us get the financials done for Caledon Equestrian Park, because as far as I was concerned, with the legal agreement I had reviewed and I had others reviewed, is we should have had 4 years of financials, and we've had none. So I did a direction, and thanks to Mr. Wong, he started that process. But when I inquired about it, I couldn't get a date. So because nobody wants to, the wording that I get from senior management is, I can't tell you before I tell the rest of council. That's what I get. So I'm going to suggest that we vote on this, but at the same time, Madam Clerk, I'm going to say we also suggest that we review a 1.5 week ahead of time at the Procedural Bylaw Committee tomorrow, because we're meeting from 2 to 4, and it's public, and anybody can come if they want to sit through it, but maybe we need to take a look at it and 1.5 weeks, and then we can go from there. So if you could do that for me, that would be great. If council so chooses not to be notified earlier, then that's council's prerogative. I just think it gives our residents more time and us as councillors to do a better job, but it's council's decision.
Okay. Councillor Befford?
Just a point of clarification, and I think it's important to get the communication correct at this table. We did not let this issue go through committee because two people were away. I recall that we had quorum because I showed up.
Yes, we did.
I actually came from another function that was from the town of Caledon, and with police officers here in the room, I hate to say it, but I drove a little bit fast to get here. And we had quorum, and we had an opportunity to discuss it. We chose not to. We chose to let it go through. I just want to make sure the record's straight. We didn't let it go through for that reason.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Councillor Befford. I am now going to call the vote. The board is clear. All in favor of the motion? You want me to read the motion? Yeah. Yep. Okay, all in favor? Yes. Opposed? Fails. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that May 16, 2017 General Committee Report Recommendation regarding Staff Report 2017-60 and 2017 Committee Community Green Fund Recommendations be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, that May 16, 2017 Planning and Development Committee report be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that May 16, 2017 Planning and Development Committee report recommendation regarding the following consent items be adopted. Recommendation from Heritage Caledon regarding the naming recommendation of Paul Gray Parquette. Staff report 2017-64, recommendation for the allocation of the designated Heritage Property Grant Funding 2017. Heritage Grant Report May 8, 2017. Recommendations from Heritage Caledon regarding naming recommendations for Southfields Neighborhood Park. Confidential staff report, advice on subject solicitor client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose, appeal options for a committee of adjustment decision, N010-16-3264 Charleston Side Road, Ward 1. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a quick question for the clerk, and I was just pulling out my procedural bylaw. I believe a recorded vote can be required after. I should step back. I'd like to have that last motion to be recorded, and I think the procedural bylaw allows us to step back and do that. Maybe you could just clarify, Madam Clerk.
You're talking about your motion originally?
Yep.
Okay, so that's two motions back.
I think in here it says, I'm just trying to find it. Yeah, so let's just step back and do a recorded vote on that, please.
Well, I'm going to, for privilege, I've got a motion sitting here. Can I get this one through,
yes,
please?
Yes, you may. Yes, you may.
Thank you. So, the one I just did on the committee planning report, can I get everybody to say aye? All in favor? Thank you. Font is too small. Okay. So you want to go back? I think it's a couple, about three motions back, right? That's the one. So I will turn it over to the clerk.
Thank you, Your Worship. So, for those listening, so what has been requested is that a recorded vote be called for a motion that was previously voted on. And the motion reads, this was moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure, that the May 16, 2017 General Committee Report recommendation regarding the Senior Management Work Plan be adopted. So a request has been made for a recorded vote. So all those in favor, please stand. Favor of the notice of motion.
Right.
Okay, so those in favor. So that's Councillor Shaughnessy and Councillor Groves. Those opposed, please stand. Councillor Mezzapelli, Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer. The motion fails.
Okay, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor McClure, that the May 16th Planning Development Committee recommendation regarding staff report 2017-68, extension of the interim control bylaw. Bylaw 2016-058 be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Okay, sorry. Now I'll move on to presentations. And I'll call upon Acting Chief Dave Jarvis and Acting Staff Sergeant Debbie Pendleberry, of the Games Manager, Appeal Regional Police, to approach the podium to provide the presentation concerning the Special Olympics of the Ontario Provincial Summer Games. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson and members of Council. I appreciate you allowing us to come here tonight. So on behalf of Chief Jennifer Evans, I want to turn this whole table over to Staff Sergeant Deb Pendleberry, who is our Games Manager, and she's going to talk you through our process for this year. So thank you again.
Good evening, thank you. And Councillor Beffert, you can sleep easy tonight. We police up to Mayfield. And I don't see OPP Caledon in the audience. No, but I can find out where he lives. So good evening, everybody. It's obviously a very exciting time for Peel Regional Police and the region of Peel to be hosting this summer's Special Olympics Ontario Provincial Summer Games. But it's more than that. It's an opportunity for us to spread the word about Special Olympics and also to talk about people that have intellectual disabilities and hopefully leave that knowledge and education within our community as a legacy long after our games are done. So I'd like to just touch a little bit on that before I talk about the games. So Special Olympics is a worldwide organization, and it's an organization that truly enriches the lives of individuals with intellectual disabilities. And a lot of questions I get is there's confusion about whether it's intellectual or physical, if it's for children or adults. And Special Olympics prides itself on its inclusivity. Any age, any background, any financial status, if you have an intellectual disability, you're eligible to be part of an amazing worldwide organization of Special Olympics Ontario. And to give you an idea of size, here in Ontario, we have over 22,000 registered athletes within the program. So why should we care as a community about people with intellectual disabilities? Unfortunately, they're still amongst our population that are less likely to be employed, suffer health issues, have trouble finding well-paying jobs, or access to good health care. But some of our athletes excel, and particularly with Special Olympics, they excel at their sports. And I'm going to have Devin just play the first video.
I believe Special Olympics is one of the main reasons Kevin is the person he is today. Special Olympics gives athletes like Kevin the ability to compete on a level playing field. Without sport and Special Olympics and the opportunities that they've given him, I don't think he would be quite where he is today.
Like many of our athletes, Kevin has an incredible story. Just very quickly, he was inspired to start playing golf by his uncle. And sadly, his uncle passed away before he became a proficient golfer. And if you watch his Kevin's full story on our website, you'll see that he carries his uncle's club in his golf bag whenever he plays. And it says, "Do this for my uncle." It's a very touching story. And he's actually one of our golfers at the Provincial Summer Games. So as I've mentioned, Special Olympics is a lot more than just sports. They offer year-round programs that offer things like nutrition, social skills. There are so many different programs. Within the Summer Games, we actually have a component called Healthy Athletes, where all our athletes will have access to various healthcare providers through the course of the weekend. For example, Healthy Eyes will give athletes the opportunity to have their eyes tested, and in many cases will actually walk away that very day with a pair of prescription eyewear. So what about the games in the Special Olympics in the region of Peel? We have over 850 registered athletes, and some of the sports you see up there are just a fraction of the sports that are offered year-round through Special Olympics Ontario and on a local level. And I should note that about 60 athletes now have qualified to be part of the Summer Games, and one of the athletes behind me in the audience, Jason, who I know you're all familiar with, is one of our golfers who's qualified for this summer's golf competition. So a little bit about the Summer Games themselves. So obviously, Peel Regional Police are proud to be hosting the games for the Provincial Games for the first time. And here in Ontario, a police service has partnered with Special Olympics Ontario for the past almost 21 years now to host Provincial Games. Our games will run July 13th through 16th, featuring almost 800 athletes, 250 coaches and team managers, and countless family and friends. At last count, we're over 1,000 family and friends just coming in from all over the province to support their family member participating in the games. So the sports, I won't ask you if you know what bocce is. I do now. Soccer, athletics, which is track and field, golf, and softball. And our sporting venues, we have two locations in Mississauga and two locations in Brampton. Brampton will be our athletics and bocce. Mississauga, our softball and soccer. And, of course, close to home for yourselves is Caledon Country Club is hosting our golf. And I would like to take a moment in our interactions both with Caledon Country Club and also OPP Caledon. They've come on board as truly amazing partners. We're very happy to be working very closely with them. I'm not sure if anybody's here tonight from either, but their support has been phenomenal, and they were definitely worthy of recognition tonight. Our athlete villages, we try to give our athletes the Olympic experience, so they're housed in athlete villages with their coaches and team members. And, of course, I know in front of Region of Peel, I've talked about the opening and closing ceremonies. Opening ceremonies is truly an event to go to. A lot of excitement by the athletes because it really is the culmination of a lot of sometimes years of hard work. They're finally at provincials, and opening ceremonies is their time to celebrate and for us to celebrate their successes. So how can you help? Obviously, we're about 6 weeks out from the games, and a lot of things are starting to slide into place, but we're always looking for donations and sponsorship, particularly for our Adopt an Athlete program. With almost 800 athletes, we're very close to being the first police service that's been able to adopt every single athlete out for the games. The beauty of the Adopt an Athlete program is a group or an individual can sponsor an athlete and help offset some of the costs that it is to send an athlete to games. We don't ask the athletes to contribute to the experience of the provincial games, so obviously the fundraising is taken on by the local police service working with the community. Tents. I know just from speaking at region, some councils have tents, and I know the Caledon Golf and Country Club could potentially use a few extra tents if anybody has one that they could lend us for that weekend. And water refreshments. We're very cognizant of being environmentally friendly. Our athletes will be provided a reusable water bottle. Our volunteers will be asked to bring a reusable water bottle. But there's always that situation where someone forgets, and we need to have some water bottles on hand, the disposable ones. So I'm not sure if the town of Caledon, if that's something you could help us with at the golfing venue. and advertise the games. We would love, and the athletes would love, for our community to come out and support them. Anything you can do, if it's internal advertising, tweeting, social media, get the word out. Let's tell them that the Summer Games are coming. And, of course, attend the games. If you don't do anything, please come to opening ceremonies, but hopefully we'll get you out to at least the golf here in Caledon and hopefully some medal presentation opportunities. And if I can have Devin just play Talon's story.
We found out that Talon was autistic around when he was 3 years old. Talon's plan would change a lot because now the path is going to be different. Coaching Special Olympics basketball is rewarding for me. I was put down this path for a reason. I have an autistic child for this reason. Special Olympics athletes deserve a chance to compete. Without your help, that chance is hard to come by.
I think worthy of note there, I've come to know Garnet Peters, Talon's dad, quite well, especially over the last year. And he said that Talon has ups and downs with his autism, but he said on a Friday night when it's basketball practice, he puts on his uniform, he puts on his shoes, and it's basketball time, he's got his game face on. And the word he used to me is, he said, it's the time for Talon to feel normal. He's amongst his peers. Nobody sees the differences. They just see the similarities. And I think that's the beauty of Special Olympics and the inclusivity. And that's why we are so proud to be hosting these games. I'll just leave you with a few photos. And obviously, those observant of you will see a picture of Jason. Hopefully, you see yourself in the at the bottom there. And subject to any questions, I'd like to thank you again so much for your time this evening.
Thank you, Mary Thompson. Thank you, Steph Sergeant Pendlebury. I had the opportunity to see this at the region when you did your presentation, and I just want to say thank you to the Peel Regional Police and the OPP for, and certainly your collaboration on this is great. Today I had the opportunity to represent the region at National Accessibility Awareness Week and celebrate some of the great work these individuals have done, these citizens have done, who are disabled, and the advocacy that they've been doing for years and years for individuals with disabilities. And one of the things that struck me is one of the committee members, and I'm on the committee, said they don't want people to see their disability. They want them to see them. And I think that that's really important. And I think that this game, this is exactly what it does. We're seeing the people. We're seeing the individuals. We are not seeing their disability. And I will say that the region and municipalities and the province, many years ago, individuals with disability was sort of shunned and sort of kept on the back burner, but we've come a long way. We've come a long way in recognizing these individuals as individuals. We've come a long way in making things easier for them. And there are things that we take for granted, and simple things like the door opener. You know, sometimes somebody might put something right there, stick a table, stick a chair somewhere where a door opener is. For us, it's not a big deal. For those individuals who are not able to get out the door without pushing that door opener, that button, it's a huge deal for them. So I guess all I'm asking, and because we celebrated these individuals today, is that we recognize these folks as people. I will say Jason has been a champion for us. Jason has been everywhere in the community, volunteering and advocating, and he has done an amazing job advocating for these athletes. So thank you, Jason, for the hard work that you do and that you will continue to do. And just so you know, Jason does have a book out, Jason's Quest. It's $20. So if anybody would like to buy a book from Jason, Jason is happy to sell you one for $20, and that goes towards raising funds for the game. So thank you again for your presentation, and Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
Also, I Councillor Befford, sorry.
Well, just as some background, I served as a principal for 25 years, and in each of my school, I had classes or individuals with disabilities. And I want to commend you for doing what you're doing. And it's really important for the youngsters to go out and participate. But very briefly, you touched on something else. It's so important for the parents, for them to see their youngsters as part of what is considered to be a normal activity for everybody and to cheer them on. You're doing an absolutely wonderful job, and I thank you for that. And thanks for including them in the presentation.
Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
There is a resolution, I imagine, for receipt of the delegation. Is there anything further? May I propose that we make a motion that staff be directed to look for opportunities to assist with sponsorship with Caledon Woods and that...
Or Caledon.
Or the Caledon Country Club.
Yes.
Not Caledon Woods, the Caledon Country Club. To look for ways that we can participate at the Caledon Woods event. Caledon Woods, Caledon Country Club event.
One thing is, I know recreation, you know, has the might have some capacity to help, but also I do know the OPP does have some room in their budget, but it also said they would work with the town to see what we could do to assist, Councillor DeBoer. And I know for a fact we're here to help. With Jason here, he's our community champion. I mean, he just, the heart that man has and the giving that he has, it's time that our community stands up and cheers him on to do what he does well at, and that's at the golf
tournament. I think to that end, our community has always stood behind all of our athletes.
Absolutely,
that we've had
to
leave here, and we've sent the last number of Olympics and Pan Ams and Parapan and Paralympics. We've sent flags with all of our athletes that have gone. So I think this is just a good opportunity, being a host here and host community, that we look for an opportunity. And I think we've got creative staff that could probably look for and figure out through the contacts that they have and through sponsorship and whether there's an opportunity. I guess all of our golf money this year from last year is gone, but whether there's opportunities through council and through the different parts that we got here. But I'm sure that staff can look at creative ways of participating.
Well, I suggest we go to the Bank of Fooing. And I'm sure we can...
Actually, it's the Bank of Heather now.
Yeah, between the two of them, I'm sure we can find what's needed. We're here to help and sponsor, so I think you've heard well enough from council where we want to go on this. So
thank you.
We're here to support that initiative, and definitely. And Jason, also, I will tell you, there's a flag for you to take from Caledon as time goes on, all right? Signed by everybody, so... Count on that. You're just like every other athlete that we have representing us, and we'll be there to cheer you on. Councillor Downey?
Thank you, through Mayor Thompson. I'm happy to second the resolution on the floor, but just wondering maybe if staff wants to comment. I know that there has been some conversations in the works with our Strategic Initiatives Department, and maybe some of those things are actually already happening. So if we could maybe hear from staff and then move forward there.
Oh, sorry, Laura. Yes. Okay. I never even thought of strategic initiatives. I am so sorry.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson.
You're the one sitting
okay
with the money. I'm sorry.
You're still learning about my department, I understand. But thank you, Councillor Downey, for the inquiry. Yes, our coordinator of corporate partnerships has been working through the OPP, and I believe he's connected with Peel Regional Police and the Country Club as well. So we have been doing some background work to help facilitate, and our intention is to continue, if this motion passes, to continue providing a supportive role and certainly promotional opportunities.
Okay, very good. All right, we're just going through that. Okay. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey, that staff be directed to look into opportunities to support Special Olympics event to be held at the Caledon Country Club. All in favor? And that we receive the delegation as well? A recorded vote. Okay.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been called. All those in favor, please stand.
It's unanimous.
I see that's unanimous. Everyone here is in favor. It carries.
Thank you so much, Staff Sergeant.
Thank you all for your time.
And Acting Chief, thank you. Okay, I will now call on the next good news that I have coming forward is I will now call on Janet Manning, Chair of the Callan Public Library, Colleen Lipp, the CEO and Chief Librarian of the Callan Public Library, to approach the podium and provide a presentation concerning the building of the future of the Callan Library Strategic Plan. And then through our procedural bylaws, I did mention before, you have 10 minutes with your presentation. But anyway, when you're ready, let us know.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mayor Thompson and councillors. I'd like to say first that it is my privilege to be the chair of the Callan Public Library Board for this term. And before Colleen takes over, and presents the plan in detail to you, I would like to give you just a little bit of board context. As you know, the library board's roles and responsibilities are laid out in the Library Act, and one of our roles is the hiring and the ongoing evaluation of his or her progress with regard to delivering the vision and delivering on priorities that have been set. We'd like to give ourselves really high marks this year for the hiring of Colleen because I think she's been a tremendous asset, not only to the library system, but the town as a whole.
Remind me to pay you later.
Okay. and a large focus in our responsibilities is the planning and setting the strategic vision for the Callan Library. The board has formalized this procedure by adoption of a recent planning policy. Within that policy, it determines that we will create a strategic plan every 4 years, and that will be done in the second year of the term of the Library Board. The master plan, which you was presented to you by Stephen Abrams, has helped us tremendously in setting our priorities for this year. It sets out for information for us up to 15 years plus, in terms of what the system needs in terms of services and facilities. Another role we have is to advocate to ensure sufficient resources are there for us to realize the vision. The board takes its fiscal responsibilities very seriously, and we believe that the strategic plan is a means of ensuring that we are able to meet those needs for the citizens of Callan. Our partnership with you and open communication and strong communication are also key in that process. The board and the staff are working hard as we journey to imagine and reimagine, as Stephen said, our services to Callan. And I hope that you will, I know you will, see evidence of that in our strategic plan. So I'm going to hand it over to Colleen. This is the work of the staff and the board.
Thank you, Janet. As Janet mentioned, much of last year was dedicated to planning at the library. And as part of that, we surveyed residents, we completed focus groups, we spoke to a special meeting of council, we engaged our staff, and we really considered both our master plan and our strategic plan within a shared context. So we looked at the challenges of a growing and increasingly diverse community, we examined trends and improvements in the public library sector, and we reviewed our existing facilities and services to determine if we were keeping pace with other libraries and benchmarking. The expectation of what a library is and does is really as different as anybody you ask. So are we a quiet place to study? Are we a vibrant, welcoming, busy community hub? Are we a 24/7 virtual branch where you can access resources without ever leaving your home? If we're successful, we're actually all of the above. So our vision for the next 4 years for the Callan Public Library is one of a vital service and vibrant community space. We are a hub for discovery, innovation, and inspiration, and we nurture connections, collaboration, and creativity. That discovery and connection comes in many forms. Visitors to the library may discover new skills at one of our social media workshops for small business owners, or they may be inspired by the local art that hangs in many of our branches. They might collaborate to learn a new knitting stitch at one of our knit and natter circles. They may create a simple staff at a story time, connect with distant family using one of our internet workstations, or maybe just take a break and grab a book. As part of our planning, we confirmed our shared values. So the library understands that every decision we make affects how people use the library, and we're committed to making improvements. We recognize that the importance of literacy and lifelong learning is integral to all we do, and we provide tools to help residents achieve their individual goals. We encourage intellectual and artistic curiosity and support one's right to seek and receive information from all points of view. We value teamwork, partnership, and shared success across the growing Caledon. We appreciate individual needs, experiences, and cultures, and we provide fair and equitable access to all. And we respect the need for fiscal and environmental sustainability and are committed to informed planning and stewardship. And it's this commitment to planning and accountability that really informed our key priorities and prompted our desire to share this plan with you tonight. So over the next 4 years, the staff and board of the public library will strengthen facilities, we will invest in people, we will build relationships, and we will encourage discovery, innovation, and creativity. All sounds good, but what does that really mean? So while our master plan identified many long-term recommendations to improve our facilities, our strategic plan is confirming those that we can address and achieve in the short term. So this includes learning from the successes of other municipalities in their libraries. So just last week, we were very excited that the mayor and some members of council were able to accompany us to visits in both Orangeville and Innisfield to libraries that had recently been renovated or constructed. And in particular, Innisfield's Idea Lab offers inspiration and fresh ideas and services unlike we've seen nearly any other library, some of which we can incorporate on a smaller scale at our branches in advance of any significant capital investment. We're also very excited to begin design and construction of a new branch in Southfields Village as part of the new community center and hub. And we've also committed to looking beyond that traditional library branch to consider new ways of delivering service. So our Holds Lockers in Bell Fountain, we're actually launching this week, are a prime example of how we can partner with the town in a shared facility to creatively and efficiently service residents. So if we were to play a word association game, which I will not make you do, but if we were to, I would gather that the most common response we would get to the word library would be books. But more than books, libraries are really about people. Books are really just a tool that we use to service people, along with digital resources and programs and facilities. And as our community grows and changes, our collections of books, movies, technology, and tools must also change to reflect the needs of those people and to support their efforts to learn and improve. All you need is a library card to access our digital collections and to learn a new language, how to create a graph or a pivot table in Excel, how to write a better business plan, or maybe how to draft a resume that will land you that job. One of the stories that stuck with me from our focus groups was shared by a local business owner who had used our online language resource, Mango, to learn Italian, so that she could better communicate with vendors from overseas and expand her business. So at the risk of sounding a little cheesy, we see this investment in people as an investment in Caledon. Our commitment to invest in people also extends to library staff, supporting them in developing the skills and the confidence they need to share the expertise and service our residents to the best of their ability. So this year we will be adopting a learning pledge and launching a self-directed online learning portal for staff. We also recognize that an informed board is crucial to the success of the library, so we will be developing a comprehensive orientation and onboarding program for new and returning members. As for the Public Library Act, one of the board's primary responsibilities is to be accountable to council, and as Janet said, and residents in our provision of effective and relevant library service. This connection with the town and council is key and the primary motivation for our focus on building relationships. To this end, we will calculate and communicate the economic impact of library services on the community, including a return on investment for each dollar that is invested in the library, and track not just what we do or how many services we provide, but the benefits and the outcome of those services. We will be seeking our charitable status and increase our efforts to raise funds, encourage sponsorship, and secure grants. This plan confirms our commitment to customer service and expands our efforts to raise awareness of all we offer. To that end, each year our staff will be out in schools visiting every class in grade 1 and grade 9, ensuring within 5 years that every student in Caledon has a relationship with the public library. But libraries are not just about receiving information, they're also about creating content, sharing knowledge, and celebrating our local culture. Thanks to a small provincial grant, we are introducing a new web portal in support of curriculum-based STEM learning for school-age children. This science, technology, engineering, and math resource, along with our new 3D printer, will be fully integrated into our schedule of children's programs beginning this summer. We will be introducing creativity computer workstations in all of our locations, complete with digital imaging and design software. And we are also expanding our Read Local initiative, which celebrates local authors, to include Caledon's many talented visual artists. So our Artful Library will formalize and expand our efforts to highlight their works with regular exhibits at all of our branches. So the common denominator when we were considering and identifying our strategic goals and actions was not simply how can we provide better library service, but how can we align and support broader town priorities. So tonight we've shared only a sampling of some of the actions planned for the next 4 years, but all of our efforts will focus on delivering exemplary customer service and improving facilities in the preparation for a growing Caledon. In the absence of a comprehensive broadband internet across Caledon, the library provides access to workstations and Wi-Fi at all of our locations. We also hope to lend wireless hotspots so that residents can bring that same level of access home. The relaunch of our visiting library service, delivering books to those who otherwise can't get to the library on their own, supports efforts to keep seniors in their homes. And as a municipal cultural institution, we support recreational pursuits and local arts and culture. 7 of the 9 priorities highlighted in the council work plan are displayed here, though in retrospect, I do think that the library can or already does contribute to all 9 in some form or fashion. That said, we know we have more to offer. The board and staff of the library look forward to working with town council and staff to identify further actions and initiatives to which the library can contribute to advance our shared objectives and improve the lives of Caledon residents. So Mayor Thompson and members of council, we are very grateful for this opportunity to share our strategic plan, and we thank you for your time and attention, and we would certainly be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, and I do have a whole list here. So. Councillor McClure.
Yes, I'm very proud to be in the library board, and I look forward to the monthly meetings, and there's always the same 8 or 9 people come to every meeting. A few of them at the back of the room. Can you stand up, please? Everybody in the library board, that's you guys. Yeah. And some of the staff, you get up too. You go to all the meetings too. There you go. I'm proud to be in the library board, and Nick DeBoer, he's on it as well. But they always have, I think, an investment in the library is an investment in, they use their money wisely. They build relationships. They have creativity. They got a good imagination, and we can't go wrong supporting the library board. That's all I got.
Thank you, Councillor McClure, and I know it's rubbing off on you too. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson, and certainly I echo Councillor McClure's comments, and I want to thank you, Colleen, for the great work that you are doing with the library and certainly your board, because with a successful CEO, you need a great board, and I think you do have that. And Janet, thank you for your leadership. And with respect to staff, One of the things I think is really important is longevity. And when I look at Mary and Kelly and Mojin, you know, we've watched kids grow up in this community and now are getting married and having their children, and you are still there providing that service. I think the familiar faces is really important to the community. And certainly libraries are an integral part of a community. And as you said, Colleen, like, it's not just there where you read a book. I mean, everything is right now at your fingertips on these on laptops and tablets and phones and all that. But I think the library is really important because it is a community hub. It's a gathering place. It's a place where instead of a child studying on their own with their laptop, they can go to the library and they can study together or they can work on a project together. And so the social aspect is really important, and I think that that's what the library does provide, is a social aspect. So thank you. The other thing that you are doing well is you're recognizing the times and all the new things that kids and in the modern world that they need, and you are going outside of the box and doing those innovative and creative things. So thank you. I think that 3D printer, I don't know how it works, but I heard a lot of great things about it. And so maybe I can come over one day and you can show me how that works, but I've heard some great stuff.
Make a bubble then for you.
Sure, no problem.
Through Mayor Thompson to you, I do believe we will be having, weather permitting, we will be having the 3D printer at Caledon Day this year.
Okay.
So you will, if you are there, you will certainly have an opportunity to see it firsthand.
That would be great, and I imagine it's a big hit with the young people.
It actually appeals to all ages.
Really? Okay.
At a previous library I worked at, the people who are most interested were teens and men over 65.
Oh, okay. That's great. And I also want to say thank you because we were able at Chaz Place, we were able to get some books, and we have them at Chaz Place, and we're encouraging the youth to take a book and sit and read when they're there. And it is working. And so whatever we can do as well at the youth center to help promote the library, we're happy to do that. So we are happy to work with you and get these young kids interested and know that the library is not just a place you go and read a book. There are a lot of other things that you can do, fun things. I know you have the green screen,
mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of fun. So, you know, those are things I think that we can help promote with the young people so that they know that there are fun things there to do. So
yeah. We would certainly appreciate that support.
So you can certainly reach out. Mojin's part of our, she helps and she volunteers there. And so we're happy to work with you and connect with us anytime, and we can show these kids a lot of the fun stuff that you do. So thank you again.
My pleasure.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Well, I have to say I was truly inspired by going on that bus trip with you guys the other day. No, it was inspirational. Libraries, I had this thing in my head that a library was a library. Well, it isn't anymore, guys. It's completely morphed. And I was blown away by Innisfil. And I don't know how they do it, because I heard that there are 30,000 people and they have a 20,000 square foot library? 24. I have been corrected by Mr. Gordon McClure. Okay. 20. Stop clucking over there. Okay. So anyway, anyways, I was blown away by it because that was a library, but it wasn't a library. It had an energy. The best way I can describe that facility was it was a recreational library. I don't know how else to say it. But if they've got 30,000 people, they've got a 24,000 square foot brand new library, and they have four or five other out libraries, I don't know how the heck they do that with that population base. But we deserve it. The other thing, and I know the mayor wasn't able to stick around, or Gord, or DeBoer, but the other thing I found really interesting, and I think we need to have a discussion, We need to have a discussion because what after they left, we had this wonderful discussion with the head lady there. What was her name again?
Susan Downs.
Yeah, and she's been around and she knows the industry really well. She was an awesome lady and very inspirational herself. But what I want to say here, because the others weren't there, we had a wonderful discussion with her about how the library is really integrated within the actual town itself. As ours is more of a separate entity, and I know your library board feels like they're sort of out here and they have to keep coming and asking us for money. And they seem to have done a better job of integrating the library board into the actual town itself. They actually seem to have a relationship going back and forth where they even did work for some of the town staff. I think we need to have that discussion. I don't know who we need to talk to here at the town of Caledon to start that discussion going and look at their model. Because I think their model, I have to say, I think is better than our model. And I don't want you to feel that you have to keep coming and begging for money here, because I think if every counselor here saw that Innisfil one, I know you tell me Vaughn is amazing, and ladies, I will get over to Vaughn, I promise. The discussion was nonstop in those vehicles. We all got together and got in various vehicles, and the discussion was awesome. We also had Jazz in our vehicle, Jeff in our vehicle, who was an awesome guy, great too. But we need to have, so who do we talk to about, because I know our model is quite different than their model, and I just think that we should have that discussion. And I know it can't just be from you, I know it has to be from the town side too, so how do we do that?
Yeah, so it really comes through Laura and through the CEO, but I think integration is definitely where we have to go. It's better through collaboration. And I think if you watch under Colleen's leadership, I think if you look at the strategic plan, I think beds itself very well where we need to go.
I think we can do it better, and I think they'd like to see us do it better. I had my ear bent just a little bit while I was out on that tour, and especially after speaking with that lady. And I think, you know what, if we could sit down, maybe we could discuss this after the fact, Laura. Would that be okay with you?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Shaughnessy. Yes, Colleen and I have a fantastic working relationship, and I, too, enjoy the Monday meetings. The sandwiches are lovely. but we do work closely together, and we recognize that there's much more work to do, just like every other department at the town. So it's a yes. Balancing act.
Yeah, I just think it was great. So it was awesome. You made me turn right around, because I'm not a library girl. I have to admit, sorry, ladies, I'm not a library girl. But I do go to chapters often. So thank you very much for inspiring me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you were able to join us, and I'm glad we got you drinking the Kool-Aid. I do think that the reason that we focused on building relationships, yes, we want to build relationships with residents, we want to build relationships and partnerships within the community, but certainly within the limitations of the Public Library Act, which is the legislation that governs what we do, we most importantly want to build relationships with council and town staff.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you for the presentation, Colleen. I appreciate it. I'll keep it short. I just wanted to compliment your key priorities. I think they're perfect, and I think really they encompass everything we're trying to do here at the town. I also want to thank you for bringing attention to your alignment of work with the council work plan. I think oftentimes around this table and in our everyday work, it's easy to get bogged down with resident issues and potholes and road work and this and that, and we tend to forget that we put a lot of time and energy into the council work plan and what we have set in front of us for this term of council, and I appreciate that you've drawn the alignments between the work that you're doing and what we had set in place. And I agree, you probably, I think you could chalk it up to 9 out of 9, really. But 7 out of 9 is good too. But I definitely think that when you're looking at the work the library does within the communities, you're 9 out of 9. Thanks.
Councillor, thank you, Councillor Downey. Councillor Befford.
Well, thank you so much for presenting. I'd like, first of all, to say that I understand the time and the energy and the skill that went together to present or put together what you presented tonight. I mean, it doesn't happen without an awful lot of hard work, so thank you for that.
I've come to the realization after being on the library board that you have implanted a chip in me somewhere. I'm sure you have, because just like Gord talks about the library board, I think everybody at this table has a feeling that we really want success in the library, and we're getting a lot of good things happening. I read what's influencing our future, and there are a lot of things that you're doing, but the key to me, in 12 years, I've seen such a turnover in terms of the number of people that are coming into our community, and they're coming in with young children. And so the key is watching them walk to the library in Caledon Village, or going on Facebook and seeing what the Alton Library's got ready for them when they come, whether it be coloring or whether it be reading or whatever it may be. And that shows you what our future is going to be, because you have the ability to shape them at that point. The technology is important too. I know we make good use of the audiobooks. I mean, it's just fascinating. And I know there's a fight amongst some of the book clubs in town, you know, trying to get the books they want. I think they go at least a month ahead of time or 2 months ahead of time to try and get the books from you. But that's great, because they're all making use of the library. So I just want to thank you, and, you know, whatever, as Barb Shaughnessy says, we can do to make it better, whatever new ideas that we can come up with, that's what you're looking at, and I certainly commend you for that. But overall, you know, keep up the good work, and thanks for the presentation.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Councillor Boer.
The only comment I can make is that when it comes time to budget, and you talked about how to make things better at the library, how to affect the investment in the library, when it comes time to budget, we approve the budget. So just keep in mind that we can ask for an increase, and we will, as a library board, ask for an increase in the budget. And at that time, council can participate in making the library even better.
Well, funny that with Councillor DeBoer, but I know serving on the library board for two terms, the biggest challenge is library hours. So if we want to be a hub, and you're talking about 24/7, I have a huge expectancy to see more library hours, especially at our branch libraries, because I know that is a big challenge that is constantly asked. Also, the challenge now with Peel District School Board, it's no longer grade 11, grade 12 that have to upload their homework into the cloud system for plagiarism. It is one thing, but it's quite a few. That's where they send their homework. But it's now 9 and 10. So the challenges are is we... Sorry, Councillor Downey. I'm just dealing with high school because it's what I'm hearing. So Councillor Downey saying, Councillor's, you know, I mean, she's saying 3-4 and on. But I think that a prerequisites by Peel District School Board, you know, population 1.5 million people, and we only have 70-some thousand people here in Caledon, they say get on board. We are definitely going to have to partner with the library as another access for kids to be able to upload their homework. The challenge is having it open in the parking lots is definitely a big help. But kids to be able to do their assignments and everything, having to come into the library evening hours is a real challenge. And I do know that McDonald's, for example, in Callum Village found that it was just better to leave it open 24 because there was too many kids trying to get in, trying to get their homework last minute. And I had a son, and I'm sure he's just following his dad. But, you know, if your assignment's due, you don't worry about it till it's the very last minute. So, you know, of course, you work through the night to get it done. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges that we have to find to serve the community, and that's what you do. So I think reality through collaboration, I think this is one of the challenges. How do we get there? We do have a plan for fiber and a lot of things, but is how do we deal with the now? And I think really at this point, collaborating with the library and how we have to figure out how to make ours work, definitely this is something I've heard, and I'm sure the councillors have heard, but I know sitting on the library board, I was always asking, you know, what can we do to get more hours?
Yeah. And certainly we, with the closure of the Bellefontaine branch and the replacement of that traditional branch with the lockers, the residents of Bellefontaine will actually have 24/7 access thanks to a partnership with the town and the pin pad access to the actual facility. So they'll be able to access hold items 24/7. And the hours of staff, so right now the limited hours we have are based on our staff budgeted hours. But the staff hours from Bellefontaine we are allocating as of the end of June to increase hours of operation at both Alton and the Caledon Village branch, so still within that same ward, so still serving those who live in the Bell Fountain area. So we will now have two full service days. Up to this point, we have not had a day in any branch at in the west portion of the municipality where we opened in the morning and we were open through to the evening. And certainly when we move to opening the branch in Southfields, we foresee that as a full service branch, 10 a.m. till 8:30, Saturdays and Sundays, similar to the hours we offer in Bolton.
Yeah, and I do know that when I saw the Calgary out in Edmonton, they had kiosks where the library access for kids to be able to use it, and it was a pad system, and it was a code that they all understood, and they were accountable, yeah. And you could trace us. If someone's acting badly, you got punished, but it was traceable. Is that something that we can look at as a possibility, too, to keep costs down? Yeah. It's like a kiosk. It's, you know, very similar to what, like, a machine is, you know, get on the go or whatever, but it's a kiosk.
A vending machine of sorts?
Yeah.
That was actually something that we had spec'd and included within our budget request last year to make available at the interim recreation facility in Southfields so that we could develop that user base within that community in advance of the branch opening with the intent that we could then relocate that hardware to other underserviced areas of the municipality once the Southfields branch opened, if that's something that council is interested in, we can certainly continue our investigation in that regard.
Well, as mayor, I'm going to tell you, I'd be really interested to hear what the business plan is on that. And I think as council, we're all trying to find a way to serve our community. And, you know, partnering, maybe the library is the best avenue. I know through Ms. Johnson yourself, I would encourage you just to find out what the feasibility is of that, and let's bring it back. And I know Mr. Wong is really good on that kind of support system, too, but I think that's something that we all need to look at.
Okay. Certainly.
So, all right. I guess that runs under you now. It's no longer Mr. Wong under the IT. Yeah. So it's the clerk. So, But thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay. Correspondence. Is there anything in correspondence, Councillor DeBoer?
The correspondence, the memo. The one for the aggregate tax memo, staff memo.
Yes.
Aggregate property assessment appeals update.
Yes.
And the request for support from Wellington County for $5,000 and a motion to support the staff recommendation to assist them.
Okay. I do have a motion here from the clerk, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Befford, that the Town of Caledon provides support to Wellington County in their appeal of their 2017 aggregate assessments in the amount of $5,000 to be funded from the general grants account. And I do know that other municipalities supported us on our court settlements. And I know Councillor Shaughnessy has been involved with TATMO and understands the issue extremely well as well. But I think it's only right that we support Wellington County on this initiative. And it's up there on the board. Thank you. No further questions? All in favor? Oh, sure. So that'll be fine. So I'll pass that over. Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy, for that.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been called. Everyone either wants a stretch break or I'll ask all those in favor, please stand. I see that everyone here in attendance has stood, so the motion is carried unanimously.
Thank you for that. Is there anything else in correspondence? If not, I'm going to move it over to announcements. Councillor McClure, since you're acting mayor, do you have any announcements? Next week, Thursday. Yeah. So, thanks. Thank you for that. It's a shared nursery sponsor, Union Church over on Old School or Old School in Winston Churchill. And it's plants and shrubs that help support the congregation. But I'll tell you, an excellent selection. And if you want to get plants for a real good value, I encourage you to go. Councillor Innes?
just want to remind everybody that the Blood Donors Clinic in Caledon East is taking place on June 1st, so this Thursday at 3 o'clock. I think they only had a few spots left that you could make appointments for, so hopefully we'll see you there.
Okay. It's from 3 till when? That's 3 to 6 or 3 to 7?
30, isn't it? I think it's 6:30.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, they made it go a little.
But they will still take you. It's just you might have to wait if you don't have it booked in, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, welcomes are definitely permitted. You may have to wait a little bit in between.
Right. Any other announcements? Councillor Misapelli?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Thompson. I guess spring is upon us, so there's a number. I'll be brief, though. On Thursday, June 1st at noon at the Hampton Inn in Bolton, there's the Spring Seniors Luncheon. On Saturday, June the 3rd at 9 a.m., it is the opening of the Bolton Farmers Market. So come to the municipal parking lot. They're going to be open from June till October. So at 9 a.m. will be their opening for this 2017 season. There's a George Bolton Parkway Extension Information Center at the Albion Bolton Community Center on Monday, June 5th at 7 p.m. On June 7th, the mayor will be hosting his annual seniors forum at the Albion Bolton Community Center at 9 a.m. And lastly, Saturday, June 10th from 10 to 2, if you're looking for a new car, come out to Bolton Fines Ford. They are working in conjunction with Caledon Meals on Wheels, and everybody who takes a car out for a test drive, they are donating $50 to Caledon Meals on Wheels. Thank you.
Yeah, that can be a costly venture, I can tell you firsthand. Councillor Shaughnessy?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'd like to remind people that the 157th Caledon Fair is June 9th, 10th, and 11th. I think some of us are probably going to be there for opening ceremonies and in the parade, but I'd like council to encourage to Facebook it out to get attendance up and support a local agricultural entity. And then, also, because we don't have a council meeting, I know we have a committee meeting at the beginning of June, but we also have the Inglewood Market on June 14th, starting at 5:15, I believe, is what time it starts. So I'm trying to encourage people to come out to Inglewood.
Isn't it not open tomorrow?
I don't know. Is it tomorrow night? It wasn't in my agenda.
Yeah, I got to notice it's tomorrow night.
Okay, so every Wednesday night starting, so please come out, buy your local goods. They would appreciate it. I think that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Befford?
Yes, I was just going to add the market in Inglewood tomorrow night, first one, and also to let Councillor McClure know that for the fall fair, if you buy your tickets now, you can ride all weekend for $20 on the rides. So get them now. It's regular 30, but you can have them for 20. So get out there and buy.
Councillor Downey?
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. I know this isn't ward specific, but Cheers Caledon and Calendar are fast approaching, and you can buy your tickets for Cheers Caledon online. So I'm sure that our staff and the local brewers would appreciate any exposure through social media and through our networks and whatnot. It's also my husband's 40th birthday, so I will be piggybacking that event as his celebration. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer? Oh, Councillor Groves? Okay. Councillor McClure, I'll come back to you as acting mayor. Is there any council inquiries that you might have? Okay. Anybody on that side? Councillor Shaughnessy?
Quite a few.
Okay.
Okay. I had sent an email out, but Peggy Tollett must be away or something, I'm guessing. So I'm going to ask if somebody can find out and get back to me, please. I guess you're it, are you, Heather? The master plan, the aggregate master plan. We were looking, I went to the region to help get dollars to support that. There was a letter that was supposed to go out to the aggregate industry looking for financial support. I was told the letter was going out at the beginning of May, but I've talked to the aggregate industry and nobody's got them at this point, so I need to know what's going on with that. If not, I'll be happy to knock on their doors and ask for money. No problem. So if somebody could get back to me on that, that would be awesome. Alton Cemetery, the retaining wall. This was a real hot spot for us here at council. Sorry, my glasses won't stay on anymore. I'm looking to find out about the Alton wall, cemetery wall, not the cemetery ownership and stuff. It was supposed to be done before last winter, and it wasn't. I'm just looking for an update on that. Is that you, Mr. Wong? Is that something you could provide me?
Mr. Wong?
Sure. Through Mayor Thompson. I believe we committed to last winter to get the wall through the winter to shore up, to do additional shoring up of the wall, which we did. And the wall did last through the winter. And we have a status report on this coming up at the next council meeting, or the next committee meeting, sorry.
On?
June the 6th.
On the wall or the cemetery?
Wall.
On the wall.
Just the wall?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Perfect. In that, well, no, this is the cemetery. There was a memo that said that I know it hasn't changed hands to the town of Caledon, I get that. But we're still asking the cemetery board, which is an 85-year-old lady and a couple of people, to make sure the grass gets cut. Is there no way that the town of Caledon, we know it's our property, is there no way we can start cutting the grass out there? And I know that's probably not you, so now I don't know who it is. Who do we talk to about that?
That'll be Ms. Savage.
Through you, Your Worship, Councillor Shaughnessy, I will find out who's responsible for the grass and get back to you.
Well, it's been the cemetery board, but now it's the town of Caledon's yet. It hasn't quite changed legal hands, but I think that's neither here nor there. I think we shouldn't be putting the onus on those people, so I'd really like to see the town of Caledon going out and cutting the grass, actually. So if you could get back to me on that, that would be fabulous. Then this is a real bugbear. Now, who's this? bylaw. Who's looking after bylaw right now?
That'll be Miss the clerk.
Laura's away, though.
Yeah, but it runs under.
Is that, does it under my
okay, so I'll look at you.
Madam Clerk.
Okay, copy this address down because this is a thorn in everybody's side.
Please don't say a personal address out loud in a public meeting.
It's a business.
Okay.
Still, business, okay?
Let's talk offline perhaps about it.
I told the people that have been bugging me for a year and a half to get something done, and I'm tired of bugging the town, and I'm tired of getting bugged, and I think we haven't probably been as proactive as we can. So, okay, I won't put out the address. But it's near the Tottenham Pit, and it's about serious dumping, oil spills, serious environmental concerns, et cetera, and I follow up. I went and looked at when I first sent my emails to the town of Caledon, and it was the end of May 2016, and I still don't have it resolved or updates. And I guess if I'm frustrated, the residents who have asked me to follow up with us, they're really frustrated. So we have to do that follow-up, especially having to do a serious bylaw and environmental concerns. We have to somehow figure out how to do it better. So I will give you the address later, even though probably with what I've said, you already know where I'm talking about. One other thing, and you tell me whether we need to do it or not. Because we have the procedural bylaw committee review tomorrow from 2 to 4, we brought up about, or Councillor Groves brought up about trying to get it sooner, and now that council members didn't see to vote that motion through to give us better notice, I would like to bring that up and have that discussion. How do we do that tomorrow? Does that require a motion here to put it on the list? I looked at the agenda, and it doesn't tell me anywhere where I can add in anything. So
through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Shaughnessy, excuse me, let's notice on the agenda there is an item called housekeeping items.
Okay.
So that would be a housekeeping item?
That
would be an appropriate item. Just to remember, though, the purpose of the procedural bylaw committee is just to have a discussion about items, and then that would be an appropriate place at that point.
Discussion is good. That's all I'm looking for, so that's wonderful. And I'm going to piggyback on something that Councillor Groves, so I'll let Councillor Groves start with hers, and then I'd rather her speak to something, and then I'll speak to it. So I think that's it. Thank you very much, and I look forward to having those answers. Thank you.
Okay. Council Quiry's over here. Councilor Befford? Okay. Councilor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I do have a couple of inquiries. First one is with respect to the Mayfield West Seniors Apartment. I've had inquiries from members of the Seniors Task Force with respect to not just this one, but what is happening with seniors' buildings, where they are. I know we have a few in Bolton, and staff were kind enough to provide me some updates on the ones in Bolton, which I have provided to the task force. This particular one, I don't have any information, and there were some questions raised to me by members of that task force, so I'm going to raise those here. And at some point, we would like some answer. And especially this is important because the last census, the 2016 census that came up, was actually quite scary. We've got more seniors than we do teenagers. So this is extremely important. So some of the questions that were raised and the concerns that were raised with respect to this seniors apartment is, why is it only three stories? I know that our bylaw permits six stories in Caledon. This is especially important, again, with regards to the census telling us that we've got so many seniors. I mean, I have a lot of seniors on waiting lists waiting to get into these apartments. And so that's my question, question number one.
Councillor Groves, I can answer that, as you know.
Okay.
I asked
Mayor
that.
Mayor Thompson, sorry.
Through
can I
Sue,
just,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go through.
Okay.
And then maybe you can provide me, maybe you have answers to some of the other questions that were raised, if that's okay. Okay, thank you. The other question is on here, it's 65 and older. That would be permitted in this building. Now, seniors, I think we have in some of our buildings, it's 55 and older. So that is actually restricting and limiting other seniors, younger seniors, from this building. So that's one of the concerns that they had, and I think we need to look at that. The other thing that I heard from the seniors task force, and they were not very happy, some of the members on that task force, is that they were not consulted on this. And so I need some clarification on that. I mean, that's why we decided to have a task force, so that when we're doing these sorts of things, that they are consulted and that we work with them so that they can provide input and ideas. The other question that came up is with respect to the underground parking or the parking. So the parking is above ground. Why not look at doing the parking underground and utilize the grounds for other activities that the seniors can do? I know that the seniors building the River's Edge, and I know that partly that was because of the they had to re-engineer that building because of the floodplain and the fact that the river is right there, but they have underground parking, and so I would think that this would be something that we would consider. So again, you can utilize the above ground for other activities for the seniors. So those are really these are the questions really that they raised. And Mayor Thompson, I don't know if you have the answers to most of these. If you don't, maybe we can have something come back. I think that it would be worth taking this to the seniors task force and having that conversation and having that discussion with them so that they can participate moving forward. But I do share their concerns over the age that we're looking at, 65 plus. I think there's opportunities for those folks who are 55 and older to be in this building. And again, I don't know why we're shortchanging it with three stories as opposed to six stories. This is an opportunity. And so these opportunities, sometimes they don't knock very often. I know that the difficulty and the challenges that we face is that we don't have any money to build these seniors' apartments and these affordable housing. Everybody is short money, and it concerns me. I mean, I'm going to be getting there in a few years, but it concerns me when I look at the census count and the fact that we have so many seniors. What are we going to do with them? So I just look at this as missed opportunity. I don't know why we are limiting it only to three stories when the opportunity is there now to build something, do it right the first time around. And moving forward, I would think that in other communities, that's what we will be doing. We will be taking advantage of all the opportunities to do things right, because we do have a shortage. We have a shortage everywhere. I've got seniors waiting, and it kills me because I can't do anything for them. I can't move them up the list at all. I've got seniors waiting who are waiting for rent gear to income. I've got seniors waiting for market rent units, and I can't do anything for them, and it's very frustrating. So I'm going to leave that with you, Mayor Thompson. I don't know how we deal with this, but I'm going to suggest that we really take it back to the Seniors Task Force and have some input from them.
So, Councillor Groves, Sue Ritchie is going to be going to the Seniors Task Force to talk about this. My understanding, if you're talking about Mayfield West, is what you're speaking about. The reason why it's only four floors is because of the flight path of the Brampton Flying Club in Pearson. And where it's caught, that's why we can't go any higher. My understanding is they've applied for funding from the federal government through the federal program. And with that proposal they had is for underground parking. So I'm not aware that that's not happening. So obviously you know a lot more than I do on this, but maybe Councillor Downey maybe knows more. But at this point, we're waiting for the region appeal. And I do know that they are working with them on this. But the concerns you're talking about with seniors, I've got a really good solution for you, June 7th, because I haven't had a chance, or I should have got my announcements out, is the Seniors Task Force, our forum, that's being held at the ABUCC. And basically what it is about exactly what you're talking about, is the challenge of finding housing for seniors of all kinds. It goes from bungalows to bungalows to mid-rise, low-rise, and long-term seniors housing. We got some huge issues all through the region appeal, but Caledon's sure you're quite correct. And if you look at the stats, we have a lot of seniors living out through Caledon, especially in the rural parts and the rural lots up and down the roads, and I know quite a few of them. And it is a challenge, and for them to be able to downsize, there just isn't any place for them to go. So this is what this forum is focused on June the 7th. Having said that, I'll continue on. Is also May 28th to June 3rd is Tourism Week. June 5th to June 11th is Local Food Week. And we have the restaurants and everybody doing a huge promotion, so I encourage everybody to go out and tweet that as well.
I haven't finished my inquiries, though.
Oh, I thought you were done.
No.
Sorry. All right, well.
I'm sorry, I have to.
That's okay, but let me finish and then you can continue on. And the month of May is Seniors Month and Recreation and Parks Month, which, you know, did not get mentioned from before, because we did mention Public Works, but we didn't mention Parks and Recreation. So, Councillor Groves, do you have something more?
Yes, I thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm going to continue on. I do have a paper in front of me, and it's Region Appeal. It's from the Region Appeal, and this is where I've got all of this information, where it says building amenities, and I've got surface level parking. So I don't know. It doesn't say anything about any funding for underground parking. So it's a little confusing then. So I'd like to know exactly what we are doing, because the information is conflicting. The other thing is on building details, it says 60 units and three stories. So again, the information is conflicting. So we need to be very clear on what is proposed and what is really happening, because I'm getting conflicting information. So I
Councillor Groves, this came as a council report to regional council. And I did ask questions about that, why we couldn't get an extra story, and they said under the flight path they couldn't go any higher, and that's what the funding they were. So I'm not aware of any changes made. Councillor Downey, maybe.
No, but you're saying it's four floors, and I've got three stories here.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. It is a four-story building. The first floor is amenities for the residents. There's three stories of actual units.
Okay,
so what I am looking for is, great, you have the amenities, but what I'm, and this is my point, is that we've got a lot of seniors on waiting lists. I hear you, what you're saying about the flying club and that, but I think that we need to be creative. I think we know there's Mayfield West 2 that we're looking at. I don't know how we're going to deal with that, but again, there are opportunities here. My concern is for these seniors who are unable to stay in their homes and to manage a two-story or a three-story house because they just can't. They're not physically capable of doing that. So I have huge concerns, and I really think that the task force, they need to be involved. They need to be consulted. They need to be involved right from the get-go, not after the fact. And I'm hearing from some of them that they are not consulted. So I'm going to put it out here and on record that the seniors task force must be consulted right from the get-go, not halfway through or not after the decision's been made. So thank you. And that's all I have to say on that.
No, I got to finish. This is just for inquiries. You'll have your chance afterwards.
Okay. Thank you. And my next inquiry is with respect to the hospital or the urgent care center that I've asked consistently at this table. And the reason, Mr. Mayor, for bringing it up is because I have an article here from the Peel Daily News, and in reading the article, it just prompted me to raise this again. And it's Peel Memorial Center for Integrated Health and Wellness. And the city of Brampton is quite excited about this facility and this center. And again, we're talking about seniors, more seniors than we have teenagers, that they are going to require health care, and it is extremely important. And so when I see the city of Brampton being so excited, and it says, Brampton is doing game-changing things in the health and life sciences sector. With a new university facility coming, our central position is in innovation's superior corridor, combined with forward-looking approaches outlined in this study. We have a great opportunity to set a new course for Brampton.
Your inquiry?
We have a great opportunity to set a new course for Caledon. In fact, I've been raising this several times now, is we have an offer for a 20-acre site for this type of facility here in Caledon. In fact, I have the donor who's here in the audience. And I don't think we're excited about this at all, because I don't see any actions, I don't see any support, I don't see anything happening. And when I read things like this from other cities, then I start to think, well, what exactly are we doing? Healthcare, to me, is extremely important. It's extremely important that we keep our residents healthy. I know we're never going to get a hospital for a very long time. And again, the Central West Lynn has been very supportive. I've got a letter from the Central West Lynn, and all of us know that letter appeared before Regional Council in support of this site. So, Mr. Mayor, my question is, how do we move this forward? I hear a lot of back and forth that is going between the lawyers, and I'm hearing from the donor that there's really nothing happening. They haven't got a clue. So do we need to put a motion forward to give direction, or what do we do to move this forward? Because this is a gift. It's a gift. It's a very generous gift. I don't know what land is going for in that area, but I'm going to guess it's something like
maybe 600,000 an acre. I don't know. I'm not a realtor, but I think that that's sort of where we're looking. And so a 20-acre site, the Peel Memorial sits on 12 acres. Here we have an opportunity for a 20-acre site, and we're not excited about this. We're not doing anything about it. Brampton is excited about Peel Memorial. It provides care for their residents. I'd like to see the same here. Health is number one.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Gross. I appreciate it.
I didn't get an answer. What do I do with this to move it forward? How do we move it forward?
Councillor Gross, I've reached out to the proponent, and I know legal is working on it, and I left a message with them, and I know when he wants to talk to me, he will talk to me, and we'll figure out how to move forward. It's a work in process, and that's all I can say at this point, and that's all I'm prepared to say at this point.
It's 5 years work in process. How long does it take? The Central West Lynn, Mayor Thompson, and I'm not trying to be difficult, but the Central West Lynn approved Bolton as one of the sites many years ago for this healthcare center. And again, the Central West Lynn reiterated their support a few months ago for this. So I have huge concerns. When I see things like this in other municipalities and we're not excited about it, and it's taking us 5 years or more, I have huge concerns. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Councillor Shaughnessy, did you?
Don't sound so exasperated. Anyways, yes, I wanted to actually speak to what Councillor Groves brought, because two things. I sit on accessibility, and this building came before us at accessibility just at our last meeting. And two, I sit on Peel Housing, which is Peel Living, Peel Housing at the Region of Peel. So I'm happy to discuss. We have actually a meeting on Thursday morning. I'm going to have it put on the agenda that we can discuss this building. But I want to say that accessibility had grave concerns about this building. There is not enough parking. Also, when we start talking about seniors buildings and needing enough space for accessibility parking space, because we know that seniors go in and then all of a sudden they have accessibility issues, we need more parking space. As a matter of fact, for that whole building, there was only going to be two guest parking spaces. And I can just see it now. They will flood out over onto the road. So the accessibility committee had lots of problems with how that building was laid out and providing enough accessibility spaces. So I totally agree. I don't believe that we should be building these buildings without putting the parking lot underground. We don't need to deed up more land, and if we can provide more green space by putting it underground, I think we should. So all I wanted to let Councillor Groves know is that I will bring it up at Peel Housing, 8:30. I have a meeting this Thursday, and I'll try and get on the agenda to discuss it, because I agree with the seniors task force. One, that they should have been consulted, and two, we have to think about better land use from a parking perspective. So happy to do it. I just wanted to get that out. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Well, just a question on this whole topic. This is a Region Appeal building, right?
Yeah.
Why wasn't this discussion, when you guys probably approved the design and the build of this building, why wasn't this discussion happen at that time?
Well, we were still waiting on the design. As it comes to our Peel Region report, I'm waiting for the Peel Region report to see what comes in.
So it's not been approved?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Okay, we'll move on to bylaws. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure. The following bylaws be read the first time and finally passed. 2017-29, to provide the levy and collection of property taxes on the 2017 tax year. Bylaw 2017-30, bylaw to amend bylaw 2013-127, bylaw to provide for licensing and regulation of various businesses of the town of Caledon. Bylaw 2017-31, bylaw to amend bylaw 128, bylaw to appoint employee at the town of Caledon for statutory positions. Bylaw 2017-32, heritage designation bylaw for 715 Bush Street. Bylaw 2017-33, to amend bylaw 2016-058, being interim control bylaw to respect with land zoned with extractive industrial in zoning bylaw 2006-50, town of Caledon. And we'll have to do this one or this one to get the okay. So, and I have an amendment to this one as well, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Groves, that the Schedule B and Schedule D of Bylaw 2017-31 to a bylaw to amend Bylaw 2007-128, bylaw to appoint employees of the Town of Caledon statutory positions, amended by adding Colin and Hannah as Deputy Fire Chief. So we've got that bylaw amended to this, okay? So all in favor of the bylaw first? All in favor? Of the amendment, yes. Okay, all in favor? Thank you. Carried. Now back to the original bylaw as amended. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Befford, that the following bylaw be read first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2017-34, bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the Council for the Corporation, the Town of Caledon, at its Council meeting to be held on the 30th day of May 2017. All in favor? Councillor McClure, do you want to move adjournment? Second by Councillor Shaughnessy. All in favor? Carried.